the reading this morning from Dr. King called Remaining Awake Through a Great Revolution. It's a sermon that he gave Sunday, March 31st, 1968 at the Washington National Cathedral. And I would encourage all of you to find it on the internet. It's very easy to find and listen to it in his words, so much more powerful than mine, and listen to the whole thing. On some positions, cowardice asks the question, is it expedient? And then expedience comes along and asks the question, is it politic? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? Conscience asks the question, is it right? There comes a time when one must take the position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular, but he must do it because conscience tells him it is right. I believe today that there is a need for all people of goodwill to come with a massive act of conscience and say in the words of the old Negro spiritual, we ain't gonna study war no more. This is the challenge facing modern man. And now I introduce Travis Harris.
I already say good morning, but every time I get invited to speak, I'm always humbled. I never take it for granted. So thank you for having me here this morning. To the interim reverend who's I'm here in his absence, but to my wife and my daughters, they're right there, baby, buddy. And just to give y'all a very quick outline of my sermon, I'm gonna start with an introduction, do a very quick context, and then bring up 3 points, and then we'll be finished. But I wanted to have actual quotes from King, and I have them basically dispersed throughout my sermon, because when I get to that point, I'm gonna point to it, but I want you all to be able to read them with me too, because these words are so powerful. And this morning, I'm basically just resurrecting an ancestor in Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who on tomorrow, this country will focus on this man who gave his life, literally, for justice. We need to hear from this ancestor today because this is a time of uncertainty for many. Some are wondering what is going to happen in the next 4 years. This nation is about to embark on an unprecedented journey in 5 days with the inauguration of that dude. And I can't even say the name. So with these 2 upcoming days, there are a lot of things that we could have talked about. We could have talked about that horrific year of 2016 we just had. We could have talked about the legacy of outgoing President Barack Obama, or simply wallowed in the despair and utter hopelessness that many feel. But I would like us this morning to focus on the words of Martin Luther King Jr. in preparation for what's coming next. The thing is, we celebrate the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Voting Rights Act of 1965. We talk about King and his legacy, but real talk, as King said in his speech at Stanford in 1967, the struggle today is much more difficult than the right to vote or to be able to sit at a restaurant. King says that all those people who were willing to march on Washington, after, you know, we saw the pictures of the dogs and the water cannons, they weren't there with him in 1967. This is the reason why I am calling for, and my main point, overarching point today, is a radical freedom. King said that we need to have, quote, a genuine equality that is more than just allowing a couple of laws to be passed. And the reason why I'm calling for this radical message of freedom is because it may look like on the surface today things are better, arguably blacks have more rights than any other time period in American history. We just had our first black president. Black women are one of the most educated groups in America. But those rights are not just simply what we are fighting for. We don't just want to be able to sit at a table or walk through a door. We want it to be treated as fully human. We want to stop dying every 28 hours at the hands of a police officer. We want our trans woman life expectancy to be longer than 35 years old. We want our queers to be able to have safe spaces without the threat of it being shot up. We want our men to stop being locked up. We want to walk down the street without being called the N-word. We want to be able to go to top schools without having to celebrate white men who raped our women. We want to be able to get any job without having to change our names on application just so they'll review our application. We want to be able to walk around with a hoodie on without looking suspicious. This is the America the king dreamed about, not just some civil rights laws, but one in which we are treated as fully human. So what prescription does King offer us to get here? Like I said, there are three challenges that, and we listen to King, that he challenges us today to deal with. The first challenge is to not be silent in the face of injustice. The second challenge is to be willing to break unjust laws. And the third challenge is we need a redistribution of economic and political power. Now I'm going to pause because I want to make sure that we are all on the same page. So y'all going to rock with me, all right? So the first challenge is the what? Speak up. Not be silent. All right? The second challenge is to be willing to... Oh, y'all... Well, what's the third challenge? Y'all got it right there. Redistribution of economic wealth. So let me contextualize this. Now, there's this thing that King calls, quote-unquote, a white backlash. And we have already started to experience this, even before January the 20th. According to King, a white backlash is how whites respond to the black freedom struggle. So if we go back to the 60s, for example, if you look at the protesters from the 60s, they were criminalized. And they actually thought that, think about it. What are we hearing about Black Lives Matter now, right? Black Lives Matter is just like the KKK. It's the same thing. Just like they said the 60 protesters were criminal, today they're saying Black Lives Matter is like the KKK. Well, what happened was in 1968, during Nixon campaign, he said two words. Does anybody know those two words? Law and order. That collective sigh was because if anybody paid attention to this past campaign, you heard the debates. What did Trump say in the debate? Law and order. That's the white backlash. So the concern is right after Nixon said law and order in 68, following Nixon, we had Reagan, and then eventually we had Clinton, which led to mass incarceration. And if anybody know, I'm sure y'all read the New Jim Crow, y'all know mass incarceration is United States has the world largest prison population. We're supposed to be the most civilized nation, but we have the world largest prison population. That was white backlash to the freedom struggle in the 60s. So the concern is, how are we going to prepare for what's happening next? Y'all follow me? And we can trace the course of history. We know that just the same way they're going to use codified language to say that there was a war on drugs, but really it was a war on blacks. There's going to be some type of codified language that's going to come out, and we know who they're talking about. And that's what we need to prepare for. So let's go to the challenges. Next one. Speak up. The first thing King challenges us to do is what? Speak up and don't be silent. Oh, man, I don't know if y'all can see that, but I'll read it. It may well be that we will have to repent in this generation. These words are so powerful. Not merely for the vitriolic words and the violent actions of the bad people, right? But look at this, for the appalling silence and the indifference of the good people who sit around and say, wait on time. This silence is in words and in action. We need to talk about it and we need to be about it. King is well known for his I Have a Dream speech in 63. But a lot of people don't know about him speaking out against the Vietnam War. These unpopular speeches got him uninvited from the White House. His fellow Baptist ministers, they all deserted him, and they didn't speak out against the war. And if we look at our current public education system, they don't even talk about it. Because he said things like, America is the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today. So the example I want to give you all is Ellen Johnson, who finished the walk of William Moore. William Moore was a white male who was actually shot in Alabama, who was on a one-man protest to deliver a message to the then governor of Mississippi. But she finished that march. She went and got the letters, took the letters to the governor of Mississippi and said, we need to do something about all the racial injustices that we are dealing with in Mississippi. So number two, let's go to the next one. Next. Be willing to break unjust laws. King says that one has a moral responsibility. Moral. We're morally responsible to break and to disobey unjust laws. And right here, King wants to encourage us to not be scared, but to be bold, to go forth. Y'all know those internal feelings you have inside of you to speak up, to not fall back. This isn't a logical or a mental thing where we're trying to like, okay, like, oh no. Like, no, this is that thing inside of you. There is something inside of you that says, this is not right. I do not like what's happening. And that consciousness that is guiding you should be pushing you to speak up against this injustice that we're dealing with today in America. And what I want to encourage you to do is to go with that feeling. Don't try to think it through. Don't try to figure it out. Go forth. That's what King did. And that's what many others did. Let's go to the third point. A redistribution of economic and political power. And I'm going to read this. We must come to see now that integration is not merely a romantic or aesthetic something where you merely, listen to this, add color to a still predominantly white power structure. That's amazing, right? Just so like we can't just keep the same power, the same economic and political power structure. Oh, throw a little let's put one black politician in office, or let's put one black person in leadership, and hey, things are good now. That's not gonna work. We need to completely change the whole entire system. We need to deal with problems like the unemployment rate, the how many, like y'all know, a problem we have in Williamsburg is we don't have that many like black teachers and administrators in the school system. That's the type of problems that we need to deal with. We need a complete redistribution of economic and political power. So in order for us to do this, we need to think outside of the box. if y'all think back to the 60s and even today, they'd use a lot of unconventional methods. So I'm going to give y'all a couple of practical examples. Right down the street in Richmond, Virginia, there were approximately 13 whites who were allies with Black Lives Matter. And y'all might have saw this story, but they literally went onto I-95 and blocked the highway. Yeah, that's the type of courage. That's the type of bravery that's needed today. But that's also unconventional. So what I want to challenge you to do is those feelings that are stirring up inside of you, to go with them, because we need some new creativity. We need some unconventional ways of dealing with, in many ways, these conventional problems. So some other practical examples is dealing with legislation. For example, if police officers are not going to be punished for killing non-white folks, then they're going to keep doing it. So we need to actually look at the laws, and then we need to hold people accountable to these laws. Other practical things are actually like getting not just one or two token Black people in powerful positions, but actually transforming the system. And the thing is, when we think about it this way, it's not about individuals working harder and doing better. Y'all feel me? It's not about, okay, all right, I want you to work harder. It's like, no, we're creating a whole entire system, a brand new culture, where no matter of your race, your background, your skin color, you're genuinely welcome and treated as fully human. And as I'm about to close, I want to close with talking about Martin Luther King Jr.'s Poor People's Movement. And I believe this is where we can really bring effective change. This is where we can actually change the system. So if y'all don't know, the reason why you don't hear about King after the March on Washington in 1966 and 1967, one, because he spoke out against the Vietnam War, but number two, he started to get all the poor folks together. Just imagine the power we can harness. King didn't care. He said, look, I'm getting all these poor folks together, poor Black folks and poor white folks. That means he was getting those poor Italians, those poor Irishmen, all of them. Just imagine. And that's why they said, hold on. This Negro is about to do something. We need to stop him. Just imagine the power if all of us in Williamsburg can come together, forget about our religious background, forget about our racial background, forget about our political differences, right? And we can come together and we can get the poor folks involved. And we empower the poor folks. And we do what they say needs to be done. Imagine the power that we can harness with that.
Amen.
That's right, brother. Because if we get all the poor folks together and we all together, that means we don't have economic differences holding us back. We don't have racial differences holding us back. We don't have religious differences holding us back. And we can all be unified on one accord. And with that unified power, we can do anything. And maybe that is why they shot King. Because maybe he was about to bring real change. So as I close, I want to close with the words of King. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. These are revolutionary times. All over the globe, men are revolting against old systems of exploitation and oppression. And out of the wounds of a frail world, new systems of justice and equality are being born. And on some positions, it is necessary for the moral individual to take a stand that is neither safe, nor political, nor popular. But he must do it because it is right. We would not be harassed. We would not make a butchery of our conscience. We would not be intimidated, and we will be heard. If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But by all means, keep going. Stand up for righteousness. Stand up for truth, and I will be with you. Let's do this together, and we will win.